He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday post-holiday edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management, as we start a new week in the market, the last day of November. November was the best November since 1920. Okay, 101 years ago, 100 years ago. So that's some pretty lofty company November had with our market performance. We did very well at Gunderson Capital in the month of November also. Well, we're off to a sour start today. I'm not seeing much green on the screen at all here so far. All the major indexes are in the red now. The NASDAQ was up, but it has gone negative. I think there's a good reason for that. We'll get to that in a moment. But you've got the Dow down 258, 260 right now, 29,650. I've been saying for a couple of weeks now that 30,000 is a major psychological technical barrier for the Dow to get through. Now, it did venture through it one day or 2 days, but it's struggling with it now. S&P down 12, 3625. NASDAQ down 14, 12,191. NASDAQ's fresh off of a new all-time high, though. So is the S&P 500. We've got oil down 25 cents today to 45.28. Gold continues to struggle, breaking the 1,800 support level, down $10 per ounce today to 17.78. Silver also breaking down 27 cents to 22.37. And the 10-year bond, 10-year yield, very quiet today, 0.85. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, how was your small gathering for Thanksgiving? I did notice a lot of traffic on the roads headed home from Thanksgiving. I think there was a little more gathering than the CDC would have liked to have seen. We're off to a very slow start in the market after a fantastic November. How good was November 2020? Well, you got to go clear back to November of 1920 to find a November that performed as well as this November. We did very well here at our firm. I would say the leadership in the market, however, was, you know, not your big FANG stocks that have kind of been driving the market forward. I would say the move in November was a little bit more of a speculative nature. Maybe speculating on the outcome of the election. A lot of Chinese stocks did well. A lot of electric vehicle. I would say that was the sector of the month in November. I would say the solar stocks were probably the second best sector of the month in November. November was very, we'll always remember November as vaccine month. This is the fourth Monday in a row in November where we've had big vaccine news. Today, we already know that there's three now that seem to work. Moderna is reporting today that their COVID vaccine is more than 94% effective. That's pretty effective. They plan to ask for emergency clearance later today. And maybe, just maybe, by the middle of next year, we'll be back to some semblance of normality here in the U.S. as it relates to restaurants and wearing masks and school and airlines and hotels, etc. But we know that last Monday we had news from AstraZeneca. Their news wasn't as good as the other two, Pfizer and Moderna. So we continue. It looks like we're going to be able to eradicate this thing through a combination of these vaccines. We've got several now. And, of course, Moderna sounds very promising, more than 94% effective, and they're asking for emergency clearance later today. The stock of the year, maybe, Zoom technology, they will report after the close of the market today. You talk about being in the right place at the right time. Now, you know, we've been adopting Zoom meetings and telecommuting and working from home and having virtual offices. I've kind of adopted that model way before COVID. I have a virtual model. A lot of people are happy just listening to the show, getting the newsletter, and talking to one of my advisors over the phone. But we do plan on getting out and visiting the cities again as soon as we get this COVID behind us. But Zoom was in the right place at the right time. And that's all I can say is the stock zoomed higher. I would call Zoom probably the stock of the year. Tesla would be a candidate for sure. Tesla's been around a little bit longer than Zoom, but Tesla going to over $500 billion in market capitalization. And I think that we've owned a few candidates that would be maybe in that top 10 stock of the year. Many of them related to being on the sunny side of the street when COVID hit. Well, we closed off last week. We did see Dow. I think the all-time high was 30,046. You know, the resistance and support levels aren't always right at the number. You got to give or take a little bit, 50 points, 75 points, 100 points one way or the other. And the Dow did crack through 30,000, but I have felt that, you know what, it's going to struggle there. That's a major, major milestone, and it's a major technical resistance level. And as you can see today, we're struggling with that 30,000 technical level. The Dow at 29,637. The future of the Dow rests on three major factors. Number one, earnings going forward. 2021, 2022 of those 30 Dow stocks. In order for the Dow to continue to ascend its way higher, you got to have higher earnings from this year, which so far we have in the consensus that earnings next year will obviously be higher than this year. This year's earnings were hurt badly by coronavirus, by COVID-19. And in fact, this has been the first year that we've actually dropped in earnings for the last 12 years. The good news is, as of right now, we're expecting higher earnings next year and higher earnings again the year after that. So that's factor number one. Factor number two, the risk to those earnings come into two potential packages, both unwanted on Wall Street. One would be a continuation of the lockdowns, the virus, and number two, which seems like a pretty sure thing to me, would be a hike in the corporate tax rate. As you know, while President Trump was president, he took the corporate tax rate from 28 down to 21. That added almost 20% to earnings of the S&P 500. So if you're just using logic, putting that tax rate back up to 28% from the current 21 would take about 20%. From earnings over the next couple of years. And then number three factor for the market, well, I mean, it's the overall economy. You know, where does the economy go from here? Do we continue to grow? We just had a record quarter of GDP. Of course, we had a soft comparison. And then we're looking for very solid growth in GDP this year, but where do we go from here? Those are your three main factors, and that's why I come to work every day And that's why I get up early every morning to track where we're headed with these kinds of major, major factors that influence the market more than anything else. And I'm pretty proud of the calls that I made earlier this year. I don't think there was anybody on the street that was more bullish than I was, and I took a lot of heat for it back in March of this year. It's all you got to do is go to Seeking Alpha, type in Bill Gunderson, look at my articles around March and April. You can read the nasty comments I got. That's okay. I can take it. I was right. They were wrong. The market has exploded in one of the biggest rallies ever seen by humankind since March. And Gunderson called it. What do I think is going to happen next? We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Well, there is a winner today in the market, a big winner. As I look at the major asset classes, it's not equities, it's not the bond market, it's not gold, it's Bitcoin. Bitcoin is up $389 per coin today to $19,723. It's up 2%. And as I look at the leading stocks in the market today, they're mostly Bitcoin-related. Marathon Patent Group, Riot Blockchain, the actual ETF, GBTC, Grayscale Bitcoin ETF, Bit Digital, those are your leaders in the market today. I do own a little bit of the ETF GBTC. It's up 23.4% today. Okay, as I look at the major stock averages, okay, this is important. From a technical point of view, I come at indexes and stocks from three different angles. One angle is obviously valuation. Valuation is critical. That's probably the number one indicator in the market is, you know, you got to have the earnings to support valuation, and you have to have growing earnings to support higher valuations looking in the future. The number two indicator is just, you know, sentiment, momentum. I don't like to buy things that are in a sour downtrend. You like to see those downtrends halt. Start to go sideways, which I saw back in March, which was a big indicator to me that things were starting to turn around in late March. I started to see number four downtrends turning into number one sideways trends. And I said, you know what? This is looking very, very interesting here. And I was right. Now, what about today? I would say the predominant trend right now is you're seeing a lot of number three trends. That's where you've had a long, long uptrend in the market. And then you start to top out like you've hit a ceiling and start to go sideways, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that the market's automatically going to start rolling over into a downtrend here. It does mean that these recent big gains in the market are being digested right now, like a big Thanksgiving meal takes a couple of days, you know. In the market, though, it could take a couple weeks or several months. I'm seeing the Dow run into really heavy resistance here at a very big psychological round number of 30,000. I'm seeing the S&P 500 start to bump its head on resistance at about 3650. That doesn't mean it can't get through it. But that's where you're struggling right now as a ceiling on the S&P 500. I'm looking at the small cap index, the S&P 600. It's actually one of the strongest charts in the entire market. And I think that small cap stocks probably benefit more from the COVID vaccines. I mean, the big cap stocks obviously benefit too, but I think a lot of these big caps, look at a lot of the big cap CEOs got a lot richer. Look at Amazon, how they actually thrived during COVID. And then you take the little mom and pop shops where you have to actually go in. A lot of these small businesses, they suffered mightily, and many of them did not survive or will not survive COVID. So the small cap index has been very strong. And as I look at the NASDAQ, it's still very strong. It's the strongest of all the indexes, it and the small caps. The NASDAQ can definitely go higher from a technical point of view. Now it comes down to, can the earnings continue to grow in technology land? But looking at the overall technical picture of the market, we've had a big run. I missed the bottom by 4 days. I came in on March 23rd. I think the bottom was March 19th. Am I calling a top right now? Not yet. But 30,000 is some pretty rarefied air. You know, planes always level off. You hear the pilot come on and say, we're leveling off at 30,000 feet. Okay, thanks. Thanks for telling me. Whoa, that's a long ways out there, down to the ground. Ooh. Yeah, I'm not a real big fan of flying, but you know what? It is what it is. So 30,000 looks to be some technical resistance here that the market's going to struggle with the Dow. You've got the forward PE of the market currently at 21.8, 21.7, somewhere around there. That ain't cheap. The five-year average is more around 17. And we could see a reversion back. We could see a multiple contraction if we were to get any kind of bad news on the economy, bad news on earnings, etc. But right now we're keeping that PE ratio, that multiple, fat and happy. Fat and happy. Because of the friendly Fed, our friends at the Fed. And, of course, with Janet Yellen coming in, I don't see anything changing at the Fed anytime soon. So the Fed continues to be a great friend of the market. All right, well, we've got the Chinese stock selling off today as the feud between us and them escalates. Okay, this has been going on for some time. Now you have the Trump administration weighing blacklisting a couple of big Chinese stocks. One would be SMIC, which is their leading semiconductor maker, publicly traded. And you know, Huawei was blacklisted earlier this year. And the other one would be their biggest oil and gas producer, CNOOC, which I believe the symbol is CEO. Let me make sure that, yep, it's still CEO. That stock is getting hammered today. It's down 15%. That is a 46, that's the Exxon, I guess, of China, the Chevron of China, CNOOC, symbol CE, $47 billion company. And Trump threatening to blacklist it along with their leading chip maker, SMIC. So that is bringing down a lot of the Chinese stocks. They have had a torrid run here, however, recently. And it's not bringing down all the Chinese stocks. Let's just take a look here real quickly at the Chinese stocks. Who's getting hurt the most today? Oh, you've got the Chinese electric vehicle stocks, the EV, Candy's down 10%. You've got Li Automotive down 7.8%. Let's see how the big guys are doing. JD.com is down 4% today. Alibaba's down 4.1%. So that's about what is going on there in the Chinese stock world. But you know what? Some of the best growth stocks and some of the biggest winners that we've had here recently have been Chinese stocks. So we're not ready to pull the plug on them just yet, even though they are having an off day today. Now, when we come back, When we come back, what's one of the hottest sectors in the entire market right now, and can it continue? This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now radio. Well, we're going to end up November on a sour note. The market continues to disintegrate here. The Dow is now down 350 to 29,561. And the NASDAQ has taken a big dive here. It's all of a sudden down 79 points, led by a lot of the Chinese stocks that are coming under some scrutiny again as the tension between the U.S. and China is rising once again. Well, I would call one of the sectors of the year, maybe the sector of the year, the EV sector, the electronic vehicle sector. If you can come up with a hotter sector than that, I'd like to hear it. China is called the future Silicon Valley of the electrical vehicle world. This is what Loop Ventures is saying. Now, they're a big research firm, a brokerage house, I believe, out of Chicago. They estimate that electric vehicle deliveries in China will grow to 3.5 million in 2023. 5.1 million in 2025, and get this, 13.3 million in 2035 if Beijing stays supportive. Loop's breakdown: as the biggest EV growth market over the next decade, China represents the single largest opportunity for EV makers. Of course, the number of EV makers is rising almost by the day. But there's a lot of players, you know, that have carved out pretty big niches. Of course, Tesla comes to mind right off the top of my head. But there's others. China wants its automakers to expand outside of the region and sell globally. Well, we've seen some deals recently. I want to say it was Texas that announced that they would be giving their $7,500 rebate for buying an electric vehicle from Chinese automaker. Who was that? It was Kandi, I believe, K-N-D-I. And there was another one recently. Li Auto has had some good news from the U.S., etc. Well, to do that, China needs Tesla. That's, of course, good for Tesla. And we believe by, this is Loop Venture talking now, by 2025, China can account for 35% of Tesla auto deliveries, up from about 25% today. Now, as far as the big automakers in China, now this has been an ultra-hot part of an ultra-hot sector here recently, the Chinese EV and battery makers. Loop says this about China's electric vehicle plans: attract the global leader in EVs and let that company invest in China-made battery technology. In other words, they're speaking about Tesla there. Support local parts makers. And most importantly, hire Chinese talent and let them learn from the best. Eventually, these employees will leave Tesla and start their own EV companies and join auto parts makers or pair up with original equipment manufacturers like Boyd, NIO, Great Wall, and some of the other big ones in China. Well, recently we've seen a pretty big move out of a lot of these Chinese automakers. We've recently written an article on Boyd, which is BYDDF or BYDDY, whichever one you prefer. They're both the same stock, just trade on different exchanges. We've talked about NIO, N-I-O, which we continue to own in our emerging growth portfolio. We've talked about Lee Auto, L-I. We've talked about Xping, which is X-P-E-V. You've also got Geely, G-E-L-Y-F, which owns Volvo, where they make their a lot of their cars in near us in Charleston, South Carolina. And you got several others, NIU, N-I-U. You've got Kandi, K-N-D-I. And then you had Tennessee recently doing a deal with Solo, S-O-L-O. So we'll continue to watch that electric vehicle market. I predicted a couple years ago, after watching the computer revolution in my lifetime, after watching the telephone revolution in my lifetime, I predicted that the next big revolution would be in the automobile sector. And I think that certainly, well, and we had the online shopping revolution, too, mixed in there. The bricks and mortars falling to the dot-coms. Other electric news today, Nikola shares fall sharply. GM is going to stick with the company, but they're not going to invest in Nikola. You know, I smelled a big rat there. I'm surprised that GM's even sticking with Nikola at all. I was pretty bullish on Nikola. I thought they had some pretty good technology. And then the wheels started coming off the bus as different little, you know, maybe let's just call them exaggerations continued to appear from their CEO, who's now, you know, he has resigned from being the CEO. They seem to have something, however. GM sticking with them, but the stock getting hurt big time today because of GM deciding they're going to stick with them, but they're not going to invest. They were going to take an 18% stake in the company. Chinese stocks, U.S. listings at risk with a congressional vote this week. The House of it's a two-edged sword, China. The House of Representatives this week is scheduled to take a vote on whether certain Chinese companies listed on U.S. exchanges can continue to remain listed. The vote Wednesday would require companies that wish to maintain their listings on the U.S. in the U.S. be subject to annual audits that could be reviewed by regulators. Some stocks like Alibaba are expected to be subject to the new rules. This is an additional wrinkle in the recent push to impose added listing standards. Earlier this year, JD.com, NetEase were pursuing alternate listings in Hong Kong and inflamed tensions between the U.S. and China. Well, I think over the long haul, I think it's better that we have tighter regulations, obviously, on the books of some of these Chinese companies. We had a major scandal in China earlier this year with their coffee, the so-called Starbucks of China, where they were just making up numbers. And I think that China is still going to be a good place to invest in over the long haul. But, yeah, I mean, there's going to be some bad players, obviously, that need to be cleaned up along the way. And there is thought that a Biden administration will be a little friendlier to China than the Trump administration has been. Black Friday, how did it go? Well, let's listen to what Shopify had to say. Shopify sets records for its Black Friday sales, topping $2.4 billion. Shopify announced Saturday that sales for Black Friday were up 75% year over year, hitting $2.4 billion from its independent and direct-to-consumer brands. Well, Shopify is an online mall. No, you don't get to stand in line to have your kids sit on Santa Claus's lap. No, there's not the smell of Wetzel's pretzels wafting through the air. No, there's not the free samples of Hickory Farms beef sticks. Oh, I used to come around two or three times. You know, I would look down at the ground so the lady wouldn't recognize me. Things like this. Times have changed. I'm sure people still going to the mall, but Shopify is an online mall. And that's good news if you're a seller or a merchant you don't have to have all of that expensive overhead that comes with a big Westfield Mall or a big Jones Lang LaSalle Mall or one of the others. You can have an online mall, and you can have your inventory in your garage and ship to whoever wants to buy your wares. Well, it was a big, big Black Friday, a record Black Friday. Shopify had a huge day on Black Friday. Okay, let's look and see what else we have here. We had, retail foot traffic, however, fell. That shouldn't surprise you. U.S. shoppers went online to purchase holiday gifts and score Black Friday deals over the Thanksgiving weekend rather than enter. Well, I went into a Hobby Lobby on Black Friday. There was no shortage of customers in that place, let me tell you. It was a fight for a lane with your shopping cart. Wow. Roughly half as many people visited stores on Black Friday as they did last year. Oh, I'm glad I didn't go into Hobby Lobby last year. Holy cow. When we come back, we'll have our featured stock of the day. This is Bill.
You got to go where you want to go. Do what you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Boy, the NASDAQ really went south on us here, didn't it? What's wrong with you today, NASDAQ? You're down 138 points. That's 1.1%, but it's still above 12,000 at 12,067. In the meantime, the Dow down 372 right now. 29,538 as it struggles with 30,000 technical resistance. And we had very good news from Moderna today, 94% effective. They're applying today for emergency use authorization. And Moderna's doesn't require that 94 below zero business that Pfizer's vaccine requires. So it's good news for the market. Sell the vaccine news. That seems to be kind of the... the motif here over the last few weeks. And I think, you know, technical resistance. Maybe a little bit of question ahead. Tax policy, fiscal policy, obviously. I don't think monetary policy will change. Fiscal policy will definitely change. And we are starting to hear more and more of Joe Biden's incoming team, especially as it relates to the economy. It seems to me that the gang's all here once again. I mean, almost every one of these people were very active in the Obama administration. All right, stock of the day. We're going to go to the home building sector. Why? It's hot. It's red hot. The housing numbers out this week indicate the market is still on fire. Actually, this comes from last week. Amid low mortgage rates and home building stocks are gaining momentum again after a scare late last month. On Tuesday, the S&P 500 CoreLogic Case-Shiller Composite Index showed home prices rose at an annual rate of 7% in September, up 5.8% in August. The decline in mortgage rates seems to be the biggest reason. From the end of the year 2018 till now, mortgage rates have dropped from 4.94% to 2.7%. Well, that creates a lot of demand. And the supply really is not that great right now in the housing market, and that's driving housing prices higher. The rate drop from 4.9% to 2.7% equates to $319 a month decline on a mortgage payment on a $250,000 loan. Well, the virus has also played a role in the big boom in housing, especially new housing and existing homes. People moving out of the cities, fleeing the cities for the burbs. That's definitely played a role. The 30-year mortgage rate, 2.72 this past week. New home sales have been red hot. The XHB, which is the ETF that has the home building stocks, one of several ETFs. XHB is pretty much the home builders. So we own one home building stock called Green Brick Partners. They're doing a secondary offering today, so the stock is down. Generally speaking, a secondary offering, the day they announce it, the stock goes down. Maybe it languishes for a few days, but that can also be a buying opportunity. A lot of times they do secondary offerings so that they can continue to expand and grow their business. It's not always a bad thing. Green Brick Partners is the top-rated stock in the sector, according to Seeking Alpha's quant rating. I don't like their quant rating at all. Mine is far superior to Seeking Alpha's quant rating. That's just me. You can look at some of their stocks and their high quant rating stocks and go, how in the world? But anyways, look, their top-ranked home building stock is Green Brick Partners, GRBK, which we own in our emerging growth portfolio. I like the demographics of Green Brick. They're mostly in the Dallas and Atlanta markets, two of the hottest markets in America. South Carolina is also a very hot market here. People just, you know what? Tennessee's a hot market. They're leaving the big cities and moving to places like Georgia, Texas, South Carolina, etc. So I like Green Brick's demographics and the markets that they're focused on. It's a smaller company. It's only $1 billion. It's a micro cap. That's why I own it in the emerging growth portfolio. The stock is up 96% over the last 12 months. Over the last 3 years, it's delivered 43% per year returns. Looks like I got to correct. They got a little problem there. The growth rate is not correct that we're getting from Refinitiv data. I will update that. That will help out with the valuation a lot. The valuation I'm showing is not correct right now because of that growth rate. The consensus growth rate is not 1.7%. It's much greater than that. So I will correct that. But having said that, Green Brick Partners, which is GRBK, good growth, 25% growth in earnings over the last 5 years has been the average. We'll make that our featured stock of the day. We own it. I'm not recommending it. It's an example of my quant system, which combines valuations and momentum, a little bit of safety in there, and a little bit of the technical analysis, too. Mine is very much different from Seeking Alpha's quant system. All right. Hey, if you want to talk to us, get into just a little bit more active as opposed to passive. This is a changing world by the day. There has to be a little bit of, let's call it vigilance, some gardening, some pruning from time to time, somebody minding the mint while you're minding your mint. That's what we do here at Gunderson Capital Management. And we try to find stuff early on before they become IBM, you know, and stocks that are way past their prime, way past their prime. And we can handle anything from the most conservative to the most aggressive, a mix thereof. That's where my advisors come in. You can reach us at our main line of 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Check out the newsletter to see if there's anything to this methodology. You can look at the results of our various portfolios in the newsletter, which I publish every week at GundersonCapital.com. You're entitled to 2 free weeks of said newsletter. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.